Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. The phrase in 17 is what God used to spark the Reformation through Martin Luther. Romans 1, verse 16 and 17. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As is written, the just shall live by faith." It's an interesting statement. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith. What faith? To faith. What faith? From faith to faith. And so that's what we're going to work on, and then continue down this road of sanctification by grace through faith. And let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do pray, ask that you'd help us to understand your words. I pray you'd help us to believe what you said. And I pray that this belief in your words will help us to become closer friends with thee, Abraham, your friend. And Lord, I do pray you'd help us to understand this great doctrinal truth and to be able to see the power that every believer has in Jesus Christ, because what he did at Calvary is to say no to sin, to overcome sin, have victory over sin in every day of his life. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, if you would go to Colossians chapter 2. Last week I mentioned, showed that 2 Corinthians says that we're a new creature in Jesus Christ as a result of salvation. A new creature in Christ should live in newness of life, being a partaker of the divine nature of God. This new life in the Lord is faith in God, as friendship is based upon faith and trust. When a person's friend breaks their word or is not trustworthy to their word, then that friendship has been harmed. And it takes a while to build that trust. Now, the thing about the Lord is that he never breaks his word. Now, we break our word, but he doesn't break his. And so the Lord is looking for friends. Now, the person in the Bible that God uses to illustrate friendship is Abraham. Twice in the Bible, he is called the friend of God. Why was he the friend of God? He believed God. He believed God about an unfulfilled promise, really. He believed God. That's found three or four times in the Scriptures. And this shows that Abraham had faith, and faith is the basis of justification and sanctification. Most non-believers, most religious folks will try to work their way to get justified. And believers in Jesus Christ have learned that that's not true, but the problem is the vast majority of them are trying to get sanctified by works. They're trying to work their way to sanctification. All different little programs try to work on, try to get that. Okay, and it's a matter of believing what God says. If you would look in Colossians 2, verse 3, it says, "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." In whom, who? The preceding word of verse 2, Christ Jesus. Verse 4, "And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him." Okay, how does a person receive Christ Jesus the Lord? It's by grace through faith. It's by grace you're saved through faith. Now, okay, if that's how you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, how do you walk in him? Okay, receiving Christ Jesus initially, that's justification, that's salvation. Walking in him, that's what we term to be sanctification. How do you walk in him? The same way you got justified, by grace through faith. In Romans 1:17, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. What is he talking about? Well, Romans chapter 1, 2, and 3 deals with the sinfulness of man. At the end of chapter 3, you have the remedy where you can get your sins forgiven by coming to Jesus Christ, become justified, get imputed righteousness. That's Romans 4 and 5. And that's salvation, that's justification. But Romans 6, 7, and 8 deal with your everyday life, where from God's perspective, Romans 4 and 5, you are sinless and holy in His sight. But Romans 6, 7, and 8, your family will testify that you're not. Romans 6, 7, and 8 is sanctification. So from faith to faith, faith in Jesus Christ for salvation and faith in the Scriptures for sanctification. And when a person places their faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, the Spirit takes over and saves them, seals them, puts them in Christ, and does all the work that He does. And the second process, or the second thing, sanctification, when you place your faith in the promises of what God says, then the Spirit takes over and cleanses you, cleanses the person. You see, Abraham believed the promises of God. He believed the promise without any evidence. The promise was to him, when he was 75, that you are going to have children as the stars. 75 years old, believed the promise. That's all the evidence he had, was a faith in his promise. And if Abraham went down to a local coffee shop, you know, 80 years old, met down with all the everybody, or the farmers showing up in the local coffee shop, and they get talking, Abraham says, hey, I'm a father of many nations. Really? You gonna have some kids? Yeah, I'm gonna, but I don't know when. And they're gonna think, you're 80 years old. Come on. And then they're gonna try to call the local nut house and try to enroll him in there. Okay, 85, still no evidence of it. And 87, his wife's faith wavered. When he was 87, she was 77, she came up with the idea of going to Hagar. And now you have a child born of the flesh. But that's not the one that had the promise. The one that had the promise was Isaac, when Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90. And he's still going to be the father of many nations. He only had one kid, one child of promise. He died believing the promise. He died believing what God said, having not received the promise. And then when you read the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, you'll find 12 verses dealing with Abraham and Sarah's faith, believing God's promise without any evidence of the promise. That's the faith we're talking about. You see, friendship involves trust or confidence in another's word or promise. See, a father promises his little boy, I'm going to take you fishing someday. Now, he didn't put a date on it. He just said, I'm going to take you fishing. And that little boy believes his daddy. Daddy's never lied to me, and I believe his promise. And a week or two goes by, and he tells his buddy, Daddy's going to take me fishing. And his buddy said, oh, come on, he ain't going to take you. When did he tell you that? A couple weeks ago. Oh, he's forgotten about it by now. No, I believe my daddy. And a month goes by, and he still hadn't gone fishing. And he tells his buddy, Daddy's going to take me fishing someday. And his boy say, what evidence do you have? Well, he promised me. He promised me. And that's good enough. I believe my dad. And the boy just patiently waited. He had hope. He had hope. He knew his father was going to keep it, his word. And eventually they go fishing. And after that fishing trip, boy, does he let his buddies know about it. You didn't have any faith. I believe my daddy. And the Bible says, be ye followers of God as dear children. The only thing, the only evidence that Abraham had was the promise of God that he's going to be the father of many nations. He had no evidence of that. His body wasn't changed. Nothing changed about it. And he believed God's promises. You see, the promise, the faith is put in a promise. When you have faith in a promise, that's where you have hope. Hope is the anticipation of it, and patience is waiting for it. God's promise to Abraham was a father of many nations. Now in Colossians 2 verse 6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Romans 1, 17, from faith to faith. Faith in Jesus Christ is what warrants justification, and then faith in the Scriptures, the Word of God, is what warrants sanctification. It's something that is available. It's ready to go at any time. Anytime that person wants to yield to the Spirit and believe what God says. Now in Colossians 2, we'll read down through it. Look at the words, verse 7. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as ye have there been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Many of the sanctification methods of the Christian life books are really done through philosophy. Vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in Him, a new creature, which is ahead of all principality and power, in whom also, after ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Who puts it off? It's the Spirit of God does that. Do you have any evidence of that? No. No evidence or not? There's the promise. That is the spiritual circumcision in the New Testament, where at the moment a person places their faith in Jesus Christ, trusts in Him alone, the Spirit of God takes a sharp two-edged sword and then cuts your body, the dead body, crucifies the dead body, and cuts your body away from your soul. Spiritual circumcision. It's an operation that is cut under the skin without affecting the skin. Now, every once in a while, science catches up with the Bible, and I think they can do that now through laser surgery. This is a faith in what God says. In putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism. That's not water baptism. That's when you're put in Christ. Buried. Do you have any evidence that you've been buried? You got dirt in your mouth? Somebody throw dirt on top of you? No, there's no evidence of that. You got the promise of God. Buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God. Through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins, unsaved condition, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, unsaved condition, hath He quickened, given life to, quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Blotting out the handwriting of an ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross, to His cross. Notice, nailing it to His cross, the cross of Jesus Christ. And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. There's the promises. Now, if you go back to Romans chapter 5, justification by faith. What is justification? It's a legal term. It's a legal term that somebody is declared righteous. It's different than a pardon. A pardon is somebody is getting out of the punishment of it. Where justification is, the crime is wiped out. In the legal terms, they call this expunged. Expunge a record. Justification, Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Verse 2 is switching to sanctification, walking. Again, it's by faith. Now, how does this take place? Okay, here's the promise. Backwards one more chapter, chapter 4. When a person places their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone, Romans chapter 4 shows and promises that God will put righteousness on their account in heaven. Imputed righteousness. To impute something, if you take the big English word imputed or imputation and run it down and look right in the center of it, you see the word put. You're putting righteousness. As your name is on a record in heaven and you got your sins being recorded, and then a person placed their faith in Jesus Christ, they write on that, you know, kind of catty corner or crisscross, The righteousness of God. They put it on the record. What warrants that? Romans chapter 4, verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. But what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and was counted on him for righteousness. It was counted. I mean, Abraham was of no value. His faith was of no value, but God counted it for righteousness. Now, people say, well, I just don't believe that. Yeah, but you live your life like that. People give value to something that has no value. And you do it by faith, confidence, trust. Verse 4, now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Okay, we'll give an example. Now, let's say I am a man of wealth, okay, and I promise you that for every rock that you bring me, I will put $100 in your account. I'll set up a table, and then you'll probably bust the table and lay it out. So you go out and get a couple thousand rocks or all that you can find and put them in front of me. And all you have, the only faith that you have, is that I promise that I will put $100 in your bank account for every rock that you have. So you get out and get 2,000 rocks. And you bring them and pile them up, and then you have your buddies with you. Look at that. Look at all that money I got. And they look at you like, you got rocks. No, no. That man promised that he's going to put in my bank account $100 for every rock I got there, and I've got 2,000, and that's 200 grand. Now, I'm going to buy this. I'm going to buy that. I'm going to buy that. He's got so much hope, man. He's relying on that. Now, you got rocks of no value, but somebody has placed value on the rocks. He counted it for righteousness. Now, you have some paper in your pocket, probably. Small bills, big bills. Okay, and you get these things out, and you see something that has no value. This right here has no value. They even admit that. If you read Modern Money Mechanics, they say that this is based on confidence, trust, faith. It's got no value. This costs the Federal Reserve or the Treasury Department 3.5 cents to print each one. It's got a 5 on there. In 1960s, you had 3 different types of these. You had one called Silver Certificate. You had one called United States Notes, and then you had the Federal Reserve Note. One of them had value. One of them, you could go to a bank and get 5 silver coins. Silver coins have value. The other one, you'd have to go to the Treasury Department and try to get the silver coins, and this one had no value. This has absolutely no value, none whatsoever. It says dollar on there, but it's not a dollar. You see? And this is how our government can go into $1 trillion in debt, and it means nothing. Well, it's all facade. It's all fake. It's all based on confidence. As soon as people lose their confidence, this will be out the door, and they'll bring in the Amero. See? This is what's called Keynesian. The more of these, when these get as common as the trees and the leaves, people will discover the fraud that's involved. Okay, but here's something that has no value, but yet you can take this to the store. Amazingly, you can take this to a store and get something of value. You give them something of no value, but you get something of value. What do? We are counting this by faith to be of something of value, but it has no value, none whatsoever. You see, if you get on the internet, you can find on the internet somebody will sell you a coupon, 10% off Lowe's, you know, Home Depot. Brent and Jen bought a log splitter down at Lowe's in Lafayette. They got on the internet, found this coupon, 20% off. See, just a little piece of paper, and it saved them $280. A little piece of paper that has no value, somebody counted it to be 20% off of what you buy, up to $500, and it had no value. What has God done? Your faith is of no value, none whatsoever. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone, God counts that the righteousness of God. God counts it that way. That's his promise. What do we have backing it? Nothing. As far as us, what are we trusting in his promise? What is backing it? It's what Jesus Christ did at Calvary. Romans chapter 4, verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. That's the promise. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, and where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. What makes my salvation sure? If my salvation was based upon repentance, it would be not sure. If my salvation was based on my faithfulness, my confession, my wafer, my water, my works, it would not be sure. That's why if you talk to these people who are trusting in their works, their water, their faith, their confession, their repentance, they have no eternal security. It's not sure. What makes salvation sure is the promise of the righteousness of God. Verse 17. As is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. There's the promise. Before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in the promise. His wife was 65 at the time. She's 85. Almost up to, I mean, her womb was dead. And he believed in that promise. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. You see, when you believe what God says, you are honoring God. When you believe what a person says, you are honoring that person. You are flattering that person. You are glorifying that person. When you believe what God says, you are honoring him. You are flattering him. You are giving him the homage that's due him. If you believe what God says, at the moment you got born again, you became the righteousness of God. You can wear a t-shirt and say, I am the righteousness of God. And boy, will people look at you funny. Why? You've been put in Christ. You're a new man. He's been put in you. And if somebody tells you about your past, you could honestly say, well, my past, I lived a sinless life for 33 and a half years. I was crucified on Calvary. I died, I was buried, I was put in a sepulcher. I rose from the dead. I'm seated at the right hand of the Father, and I'm spoiled principalities. That's because you're put in Christ. He's in you, you're in him. He crucified your flesh, you're dead, it's dead. And you see, that's imputed righteousness. How you know it's not imparted righteousness is because reality reveals the righteousness is not imparted. It's been imputed. How do you know it's not imparted? Is you just ask your family members. You see, and then the Spirit of God is the one that gives us the power, Romans chapter 6, when you reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, then the Spirit of God takes over and gives you liberty. And he's the one that gives you the grace to do the right thing, to yield to him. This is what sanctification is. Sanctification as justification is by faith. If you would look in Acts chapter 15, we'll run several verses. Well, just a couple here and probably pick it up next week. Acts 15, verse 9. Acts 15, 9. And this is the conclusion that they came up with in the book of Acts. Peter concluded this. Verse 7, and when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. See, there's the sanctification process, if you call it that. It's purifying by faith. Acts 26, verse 18. Just as justification is by grace through faith, so sanctification is by grace through faith. And just as when a person believes in Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God takes over, the same goes as far as your daily life. Acts 26, 18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that ye may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. And a person just has to reckon it to be so. And if you got a pile of rocks in there and a guy walks in and says, you tell me those rocks, he's going to give you $100 for those rocks? He said, I reckon it to be so. He said it. I believe him. And when God says it, you just believe what it says. It's funny. There's a funny saying out that says, God said it. I believe it. That settles it. Actually, God said it. That settles it. If you want to get in a program, then you believe it. It's already settled. Your unbelief is not going to affect what he says. If you want to get in a program, believe what he says. Reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God. And this is the ability to resist temptation. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to be faithful to your words. I pray, ask that you'd help us to realize and believe what you say in matter of salvation. And when someone places their faith in Jesus Christ, you count that faith to be the righteousness of God. You count that faith of a man, a faith of a woman, which has no value whatsoever, but yet you count it to be of value. You count it to be the righteousness of God. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to realize that great truth, rest in that great truth, praise you for that great truth, thank you for it. Our heads bowed and eyes are closed. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ, salvation is full and free in him. You've trusted Jesus Christ, sanctification is full and free, and it's in him. Just reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God. The instruments will play, the altar's open if you need it. Romans 1:17, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith, justification, to faith, sanctification. When a person is placed in Jesus Christ, his history becomes my history. My history becomes his. I am put in Jesus Christ, and because of that, I've been crucified. I am crucified, and because I've been crucified, I am dead to sin. Dead to sin and alive unto God. Lord, I thank you for a blessed book you've given us, and thank you for the promises. Oh, what promises you have given beyond human comprehension. Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to believe thy promises and allow the Spirit of God to work through us and to praise you and honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.